All right, let's bring in our buddy Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville. Vinny, how was your fourth?
It was good. Pretty quiet, flexible, just my dog, hot dogs, and just catching up on stuff. So it was good. Hope you guys had a great one.
Yeah, it's hell for dogs. Let's just call it what it is. I've never heard anybody that says, my dog just can't wait for July 4th. Nobody's dog, right? They hate it. So,
right.
Did you do anything fun over the weekend?
Well, fun to me is being productive and, like, crossing out or highlighting things on my printed out to-do list, both personally and for work. And I'm getting ready to take some time off. Plus, there's media day, so there's a bunch of stuff that I got to knock out. So I did chop through some of that stuff. That's enjoyable to me. But I did get some sun, some pool time, a little bit. But, you know, nothing to brag about. But, yeah, it was good.
You know, also, something came up on the timeline, right? A little friendship for us, Facebook, the pictures.
Yeah.
I don't think we've changed. I don't think we've changed a bit, man. Kudos to us.
No, a couple 2-3 pounds here, a couple 2-3 pounds the other way. No matter the setting, whether it's sidelines at Nissan Stadium, I don't think it was called Nissan Stadium at the time, when Tennessee and North Carolina are playing in a bowl game or at a Preds game or just visiting you guys or Smoky Stadium, wherever we've been, we've had a great time, media days. That was cool that popped up on the old memory, Facebook memory timeline this week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. What did you make of, let's start with, I'm in St. Louis and maybe I was like, gosh, maybe the heat's getting to me. Maybe I've been in the sun all day at these baseball tournaments. I could have sworn I just saw, you know, walking through the lobby of the hotel, USC, UCLA, what? Did I just see that wrong? And obviously, I know I didn't see that wrong. What do you make of that? That blew me away.
Well, at first, yes, it is shocking because it doesn't make geographical sense. It's just not something that you expect or we're trained as sports fans with divisions and geography and things like that for that to be a move that makes any sense. Even if stuff like that has been rumored, maybe that those schools, but cross country type of stuff, like the last wave of realignment, people were like, well, you know, what about going and getting USC to the SEC or tech or just different things that were crazy at the time. But when it actually happened, honestly, the first time that I saw that John Wilner tweet about it, I'm like, I'm not reacting to this for a while.
Smart move. Fake account. This can't be real, right?
Yes. It's kind of like with, and I've been through many of crazy job searches too that you know of, Darren, and you don't jump on every little story that somebody's putting out about a job search, you know, or coaching search, stuff like that. So in college athletics especially. So I took a wait and see on it, and it played out that way. I don't like it, but it's the direction we're going. And it's all about the money. And look, those schools are potentially could at least double, maybe triple what they make in millions annually. But then don't come to me and talk to me about what's best for the student athlete. Now you can talk about, yeah, we'll help with their travel, with getting charter planes and more resources and all that stuff. But I'm not convinced that on the field, it's going to result, at least short term, to any different results. They've had everything they needed there in the Pac-12. Granted, the league hasn't been its best, and that the results haven't been great there. So now you're going to make it more difficult for them, have gauntlet schedules, and cross the country every other week. I think that's tough, but we're going towards the two mega conferences as opposed to, you know, four super leagues like we talked about. So it's the way it's going, and that was kind of the big reaction to Texas and Oklahoma last year.
So do you think when Oklahoma and Texas move into the SEC, is that going to be it? Do you think USC, UCLA moving to the Big Ten, is that it? Or do you think they're just going to keep adding? I mean, what do you – do you think the SEC's done, or they're going to still – I mean, you hear Notre Dame stuff. Like, is that it, or how do you think this is going to play out?
I don't think they're done. And not just the SEC, but with the Big Ten. Saw a story just a little while ago that the Pac-12 is working towards bringing in six members in their expansion. I don't think there's any way to avoid it. Even though the Big Ten is allegedly denying it, but I don't know how you can leave USC and UCLA there alone as West Coast teams without trying to bring in a Oregon or a Washington or dipping into trying to pull from another league. The thing that I don't know about, I think, is the biggest wild card in all this when we're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC continuing to expand, or the Fox conference and the ESPN conference, because let's be real, they're behind a lot of this with their power, because everything is about TV, which also equals money, and that's what's driving a lot of this. But I think the ACC's grant of rights on their current TV deal goes into the mid-2030s. That's a long time, where it is so incredibly expensive for any of those SEC schools to get out. Notre Dame can play this out to where, yeah, they have a relationship with the ACC, but if they join a conference and football is supposed to be only with them, but then, you know, the two major conferences are going to bid for their services. Can you go get the schools that make the most sense for the SEC, like the Clemsons, the Florida States, the Miamis, the North Carolina? So that's where kind of the tricky part of it for the SEC's expansion is those schools more so are in the ACC. Can they get out? Is it too expensive? That's the part that I'm not sure about, and that's the part I think a lot of people are kind of missing out on in how quickly those dominoes can fall, especially for the SEC. And could it leave the SEC behind where the Big Ten is able to go get other schools? They can continue to expand because they're maybe not tapping into the ACC as much. I bet they'd want North Carolina and Virginia and a few others. But that more would impact the SEC. So maybe the Big Ten separates from the SEC in their growth. Who knows?
You know, there was a time when Nebraska leaving, everybody thought the Big 12 was dead. And
right.
It's not dead, but – you know, there's been a lot of shifting around. With that being said, about UC, what's the Pac-12? What's their status? What is it going to look like? What does this mean for them?
I think it's a race for who poaches who.
Right.
Whether it's does the Big 12 poach the Pac-12, or does the Pac-12 poach the Big 12? I mean, if they're really forward-thinking, they maybe merging, if they know this is where it's going to go anyway, that maybe them merging would give them at least a little bit of a chance of survival. Long-term, they're still going to be way behind, especially because they've already lost USC and UCLA. But, I'm sorry, if the Pac-12 just adds some Mountain West Conference teams or lower-level Big 12 teams, that's not going to help them with their upcoming TV deal. And everybody's trying to posture and position, and their TV deal comes up quicker than the others. I think it's going to be tough for them unless they were to come to some sort of agreement and bond. But we'll see. It seems like everybody's kind of doing their own thing. So much for that alliance, right? That didn't really help out little brother in the Pac-12.
No, it did not. All right, we'll get into Vol stuff. There's a lot of news on that front when we come back on the other side. Can you hang with us for a couple minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come back. More Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game on The Game Nashville app. More with Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal, here on the DC. He joins us normally on Mondays, but, of course, yesterday being the 4th. Joining us today, Josh Heupel getting some good news over the weekend. I guess three more commits?
Yeah, two in the 2023 class, the upcoming class, and then a five-star in the 2024 class. Really big get. And athlete Jonathan Nichols, who's from IMG Academy, who isn't from IMG Academy seemingly these days. There's so many between basketball and football. Seems like they're just kids continue to transfer there and then end up being big prospects. So that they're pulling from high school ranks to get those kind of kids and then them getting the exposure they do, not going to change anytime soon. But Jonathan Echols, five-star tight end slash edge pass rusher, he's a phenomenal athlete from there at IMG Academy. So he gives them their biggest get since Nico Iamaliava, the quarterback, a guy that was connected to Nico, was offensive lineman Francis Maigoa, also from IMG Academy, and Bradenton Echols' his teammate. He picked Miami over Tennessee. So that was a big miss for Tennessee. He's an offensive lineman. It's a huge need position. And he's a guy you could have immediately pointed back to Nico in terms of his benefit in the class. They also picked up a three-star defensive back in Christian Conyer. He's a guy from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Again, three-star, picked Tennessee over Kentucky, but man, that one hurt Kentucky, and they had a reaction. One of their assistant coaches was reacting to it on Twitter, and one that Kentucky really needed. So that was a big head-to-head win, and he's got a really good offer list also. And then defensive lineman Tyree Weathersby from Douglasville, Georgia, picked Tennessee over Kentucky, Mississippi State, South Carolina. So a number of SEC schools. But I mentioned this last week. Some of the three stars they've been getting have pretty good offer list and maybe better than what you would normally think for a three-star. So those recruiting rankings may change. They didn't get a big boost from this latest haul, but most notably it was missing Maigoa, because now the two guys you could most recently point to Nico, are five stars in Carnell Tate and Francis. And those guys consider Tennessee, but they haven't been able to land them yet. They're five stars in the 2024 class. So that relationship maybe will pay dividends down the road. It was still a very active, good weekend for Tennessee.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, sports animal over in Knoxville. Vince, I was reading a very interesting article on The Athletic about the NIL, and they had some anonymous football recruiters from various conferences. I hesitate to use the term Power Five because I feel like the way things are moving,
right.
What we say Power Five isn't going to be accurate anymore. It's going to be a term of the past. But
yeah.
There was a SEC recruiting coordinator. You know, it had to do a lot of how quickly NIL has taken shape, and people are thinking along these lines. It's almost like doing a salary cap. You know, philosophical questions like, are you going to try to pay your whole roster a certain amount? And then your star players get paid on top of that. How much do you try to allocate towards the quarterback or defensive ends, pass rushers, offensive tackles? And one guy said, this was an SEC recruiting coordinator. He said, how would you go about it? He starts with this. So I'm assuming this guy is not a Tennessee person. Tennessee is paying a kid $8 million before he takes a snap. And I'm guessing he is referring to Nico there. That's where we're at. So there are a couple ways to look at it. You can get a lot of really good players that maybe don't cost a heck of a lot but still build a good roster, or you think on the front end and pay your current players who are playing well to help you build future rosters and help set up for more collective money for everyone. I'd probably go for the collective idea more than going after individual players. Here's one of the things that people don't think about. So Tennessee is paying this kid $8 million. All right. Well, what if he gets hurt? What if he's not as good as everybody thinks? Well, the people who just gave millions of dollars to a kid who ended up not being good, I won't use the term on the air that he actually says here, but Section 303 says it a lot for Predator fans, will probably be really ticked off and less likely to help out in the future. So I guess where I'm going with this, Vince, it's so fast. It's like warp speed we've gotten to this, where we're actually talking about that kind of money and how to go about it, right? And there was nobody that hit the brakes. How real do you think that money is for like $8 million for a quarterback? They're talking about hey, what if we had $10 million or $15 million for our team to allocate? It's different for different schools. But is that really real money?
Well, there's so many different layers to this, Willie. It's a great question and conversation. I'll try to give it as much as I can real quick. Spire Sports, who is the most well-known collective in all of college athletics.
They were kind of out in front of it, right? Is that fair to say? Right. They were kind of they were moving on it before a lot of people were.
Absolutely. And they were open about it because it did a story with The Athletic that drew them a lot of attention. And then they kind of backed off and talking about a lot of this. But now they put out on social media recently that in the past year, because we just got to the one-year point of NIL, that they have gotten $3.6 million in deals to, I think it was 129 student-athletes, which is about 126 student-athletes, which is about $29,000 per. That's the average. Well, but if you're counting that big chunk towards NICO, then that's a much smaller pie. You're dividing amongst the other 125 or so. So it is different. And I've talked to some Tennessee athletes about NIL, and some of them, I think I've mentioned to you, some of them are like, really not doing much. And then others are like, yeah, we get to do some cool stuff. But it's not life-changing money. That's where I think it's tough, and that's where it raises red flags, because to the NCAA and then other coaches, when they don't get the players, it's okay when they do. But then it raises a red flag that's being used in recruiting. So that's where you have to watch. And then, like, the deal for the kid in Miami, that this agent was bragging about $9.5 million and he could have got more and all that kind of stuff. That stuff, when you're so open about it, makes me wonder that if that money is real or you're just using it to try to get better deals down the road and it's just a negotiating tool. So I do think there's an element of all the above, some fabrication, some unfortunately going to too few players and not enough to everybody else. And also it's a moving target, because I think it's going to continue to change and evolve, especially if the NCAA does try to get involved and as people find new ways around the current setup that they have that everybody's trying to work around.
Boy, I mean, that's a great answer. And I think you've sort of laid out some of the challenges here, because if you just have the perception that, hey, this quarterback's coming here and he's getting X million or this big paycheck, it can be used as a tool to attract other recruits. I think you've said this before. When NICO committed, others were like, hey, man, this is where I need to be going. But 8 million, like, how would the practicality of that work? I don't know if the collective has actually talked about that, but this kid's got a whole nother year of high school, right? He's got a whole nother season. When does he actually see the money, or could that firm actually pay him now?
Well, he is from a state where high school players can get NIL deals in California.
Okay.
So whether it's him or the quarterback Rashada that committed to Miami that his agent talked about, the $9.5 million, I think those guys can start getting that earlier. Now, and I want to point out too, no one's ever publicly said for sure. The Athletic laid out things that all the arrows point to NICO, but they've never confirmed that. It's just kind of everyone thinks it's that, because by process of elimination, it's the only thing that it can be based on the article The Athletic did and all those parameters set, but no one will come out and say it. That's another thing, is people handle it differently. Sometimes they don't want to put the pressure on the kid, because then the expectations are there. I think the expectations are there even without. But I think it's different. Again, that's where what's crazy about this is the rules are different for everybody, whereas others, they may come to an agreement, but it's maybe once they get on campus and they're officially here. And that's what's frustrating, is it's different for everybody in every situation and every school.
Would you worry, and Nick Saban brought this up in the whatever that talk was that got Jimbo Fisher all fired up and started the war, right? He brought up this very thing that the guy in The Athletic just talked about, with using the example of NICO, although he didn't name NICO by name. But it could go for a lot of different schools, a lot of different people. Kid gets promised a large amount of money. It could absolutely, it's going to happen to some quarterbacks. You can only play one quarterback. If that quarterback doesn't win the job or gets hurt, you could have a big problem on your hands.
There are a lot of things that it could kick into effect. There is that. Then, you know, where is the pressure coming from? In, hey, now we've invested this in a kid. Do you start pressuring the head coach? The head coach have the power to say, get off my back. You know, we know boosters are involved a lot, and if money is coming, if the collectives are funded by boosters, then the boosters are going to feel like they have a say in things. And then there's the extra pressure on kids, and I've said this from the jump, that's what's going to be unfortunate, is, and maybe why some of them don't want to make it public, is now the fans, they have more to get upset about with the schools and the players. Everybody's ready to just blow up and get unhinged on social media as it is. Now they have more things to get mad about. Well, we didn't pay enough to this player, or, you know, the school didn't do enough, and the kid's a bust. And it adds even more things for everybody to complain about if things don't work out. Oh, by the way, Tennessee is not the only school. This is why maybe it hasn't paid off with the 5 stars yet like fans hoped. Tennessee is not the only school that is doing well with NIL and they're putting out money. A lot of schools are that are on the same level. So guess what? It may end up being the deals and the opportunities are similar. And so it may come back to the reason why they were choosing a school in the first place, unless they're just counting specific dollars and doing it that way. But yes, it adds extra pressure, and it makes it harder on the coaches. Everything right now makes it harder on the coaches and their personnel decisions based on when you have one guy connected to so much in NIL money. But you gotta hit on that before they ever get on campus and try to nip that in the bud best you can and have the right kind of kid to where it won't be an issue. If not, then yeah, you're going to have more problems.
So many questions, so many important decisions that will be made with this. And at the top in the first segment, we talked about with the conferences, where's everybody going to be playing? Pretty crazy stuff going on right now. Vince, as always, excellent stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
I appreciate it. It was great to be on with you guys.
All right, Vince Ferrara, Sports Animal in Knoxville, his weekly chat with us talking about the University of Tennessee. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.